When you're in the presence of a child that grows up to be a man and a savior, one who died, as we mentioned this morning, he came to this earth a babe, he died and left this earth as a savior, and he will come again as a king and a mighty warrior someday. But when you're in the presence of that, and when you have experienced that with God, when you've given and sold, surrendered your heart to God, you're different. You have to be. To walk into that kind of glory and to walk into that, we have Moses on Mount Sinai when he was there with getting the Ten Commandments. And when he came down off the mountain, there was a glow about him. And the glow about him was simply because he was in the presence of God. And we have the three disciples translated into heaven and coming back down again, having this glow about them because they were only in the presence of God. And being in the presence of God should change your heart, should change your life. And there's a gentleman, as we go to the end of chapter Luke, that pondered what and who this child was. His name was Simeon. In verse 25 of chapter 2, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You see, when Simeon was hanging on, he was waiting. And you know what he experienced when he held the child and he praised God in verse 28, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God, "Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word." You see, for those who are coming to the end of their life, for those who are on their deathbed, or those who have gone on before who know Christ, there's a peace. There's a tremendous peace. And I think this part of Scripture is very important because it should tell us that none of us should want to leave this earth until we've met Jesus Christ. Simeon didn't want to. He didn't want to leave until he met Jesus Christ, until he saw the salvation and the consolation. In fact, interesting, the Greek word there for consolation is simply establishing the believer's purpose in redemption. God, I want to see what is going to establish your purpose and the salvation of your people. And it was the birth of a little child. It was the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And so when we see in that text how he didn't want to leave until he saw, once he saw, he says, "God, take me home. God, I'm ready. According to your promise, I am ready to go." After he saw him again and he blessed, and Mary was told at that point in time that his future. A few verses ahead of that, Mary was pondering in her heart all the things that were being said about her child. And now this seems to be a little bit of a shift. Now I wonder what she was pondering in her heart and in her mind, knowing that the outlook was her child's soul will be pierced with a sword. Simeon himself knew that was come what was coming and shared that with Mary and Joseph. We have this story. We have an understanding. And again, if you've entered into the presence of Christ, that means you've come to an empty cross. That means you've come to a bloodstained cross. That means you've come and realized that your life is maybe fulfilled. Maybe you have a life that you're doing okay in. Maybe you can look at the world around us and you compare your life to what's going on around us and you think, you know what, I'm okay. I'm doing well. I'm okay. I'm doing good. But then there's that thought process of, are you ready to meet your king like we ended with this morning? The king is going to come. Are you ready to meet him? And so what I want you to sort of think through tonight as we look to this birth of a child that was only given to us so that he could die as a savior. There's no other reason why he came to be a babe in Christ other than to be a savior for the world that would die for our sins. Until you come to that bloodstained cross, until you surrender everything you have, you don't know what it's like to be in the presence of God. You don't know what it likes to be in the presence. And we shared this morning about the power of God simply in his presence, where men walk away glowing, where Simeon praises God, knowing that he now can go and be with his God because he saw the Christ child. My prayer for all of us today is that we are prepared to leave this world. We are prepared to move on to where our eternity may be. And you've heard me say many times that all of us, every one of us, are going to live forever. Nobody's going to get out of it, okay? As they say, nobody leaves this world alive. Well, when you do leave this world, you will live for an eternity somewhere. And it depends on what your address is. It's either going to be heaven or hell. Don't leave this world without solidifying your relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to go into his presence. You need to tell him, listen, God, you know who I am. God, you know that I'm a sinner that needs your saving grace. I need the gift of your son. And man, when you get that gift and you just lay it all on the table, you walk away, you're different. You walk away and everything, the burdens are gone, the heaviness is gone, the fear of death is gone. Knowing where you're going to end up for eternity is gone. And the hope of all those who you leave behind. Maybe you'll go before everyone else. And the hope that they know where you're at is unbelievable comfort in the midst of a funeral home. Probably the only comfort I know in a funeral home is the knowing where they're at. So give that gift. As you receive that gift of Jesus Christ, give that gift to your family to know that they have no doubt where you will spend eternity, because that is the greatest gift you can give them. Some of you, knowing that you have some things under the tree tonight, maybe tomorrow, I'm still talking Kim into trying to open up some tonight. Hasn't worked yet, but we're trying. You know, I can't stand still. I can't be watching them things all the time either. But, you know, I'm not the little kid that wakes up, but I do get up at 5 in the morning, so I don't know. But what a gift that you could receive this Christmas if you don't know Christ as your Savior. It's the only gift that will give for you to an eternity. It will keep on giving all the days of your life forever and ever and ever. Before we sing our last song, and I apologize to Bill, I was going to give Bill some time when we first started, and it just slipped my mind. But Bill asked if he could have a minute or two, so we're going to let Bill come up and share. Not what he told me.
Pastor and Kim, on behalf of the congregation, please accept this gift as our token of appreciation for all that you do for all of our congregation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. Man, that's not what he said. Here, I thought he was going to give an awesome testimony. I thought he was going to preach or something, give some wisdom. Kim and I greatly appreciate that. God has blessed us as he's blessed all of you. When Kim and I got married 12 years ago, our theme song for our wedding was Broken Roads. And through the broken roads of both of our lives, through the death of our former spouses, God brought us together. And he used Kim to save me, and I'm not sure what I've done for her yet, but we're still working on that. But just God has blessed us in so many ways, and we greatly appreciate it, and we enjoy being your pastor. And I shared with the deacons several board meetings ago that you know, if you want me to stay here till I'm 90, then I'll preach a month and give me three off, and then I'll come back and preach a month and three off. That hasn't worked yet. I'm not going to do that, but I greatly appreciate the thought that goes behind that and the heart behind all of that, so we greatly appreciate that. As Simeon left the temple, and he was blessed by seeing, and I think one of the things that we are blessed by when we leave the presence of God is we become more faithful. So let's sing together, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Sue. All ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, O the King of ages. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Calling choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet. Happy morning, Jesus, to thee be the glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Okay, this time Sue is going to bless us with the song.
Then it goes in and it asks a question to you. Do you have room? On that night, it asks another a couple questions. Would you have come that night? Because there were so few that came to see him. Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room in your life? So I just hope this song bless you, and just as you listen, ask yourself, do you have room for him? From the busyness of this life, are you kicking him out and making him last instead of first? Or are you not making any room for him at all? And I just pray tonight that not one of you leave here unless you know the Savior. And if you want to do that, please talk to the pastor or me, or, you know, there's several around you that know. But don't leave here. Make room for him. He's our life. He's our hope. We will live with him eternally. And, you know, nobody wants to be in hell. And I can remember the one phrase that the pastor made one time. He said, the closest thing that we'll see to hell, if you're a Christian, is here on earth. But the closest that, if you don't know Christ, the closest that you know to heaven is here on earth. And I just, you know, that really stuck to me, and it's so true. So please don't leave here unless you know him. journeyed far, a weary pair. They sought for shelter from the cold night air, some place where she would lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there, and all the town a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A staple bear was where the family stayed. Do you have room for the Savior? And do you seek Him anew? Have you a place for the one who lived and died for you? Are you as humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old? Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? A star arose, a wondrous light, a sign from God. This was the holy night, and yet as few would go to see the babe who came to rescue you and me. The child divine is now a king, the gift of life to all the world to bring. And all mankind he saves from doom, but on that night for him there was no room. Do you have room for the Savior? And do you seek Him anew? Have you a place for the one who lived and died for you? And as a humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old, would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? Would you come tonight? Will you seek the light? Do you have room?
On that night, that question would have been asked to those who were sleeping in Bethlehem. And I ask you the same question tonight. Do you have room? Have you let Him in? Because if you're questioning that tonight, I want you to take a minute. And we're going to turn all the lights out here in a second. And just want to sit in the dark for a moment. Because that's where we're at without Christ. And then I want you to observe. As I light my candle, and then I walk down and light candles, and as candles begin to be lit all through the sanctuary, things begin to be seen. And isn't that how Christ wants us to live? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Our lives need to be lit in a way that we can share and show Christ to those around us. So gentlemen, if you can go ahead and turn the lights out. TVs ruin it again. There is no blue glow, okay? But you know, we live in a world that when we look at it, it's like this, it's dark. And there are many people in our world that are searching for the light, that are looking for the light that you and I have inside. And my prayer tonight as we begin to light our candles, and then when we're done, we're going to have to stand and we're going to sing Silent Night together in closing tonight. And again, do appreciate each of you coming and allowing us to be a family together for a little bit this Christmas Eve. But as we light our candles and we begin to see, it doesn't take many candles to light the world and around us. But God wants us to continue to light the candles.